Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, it's Wednesday, August 7th of 2024. Obviously, I'm not Chuck or Julie. They are out having a good time watching their kid play golf. Wish I could be doing the same. They were, good enough to ask me to step in, and I have. And I told them I had business all morning. I literally walked in here like 5-10 minutes ago. I sat down. This is going to be my exercise in impromptu speaking. So I need people to jump in if you want to talk about whatever. Like always, when Chuck and Julie ask me to come in and guest host, something big happens. It's just like Murphy's Law, and I love it. But if you want to, you can call in at 888-627-6008, or you can just, I don't really watch if people are, I don't even know how they can like flag or whatever. But if you want to just unmute, if you're on the Zoom and start talking, that's fine with me. Good luck trying to get in between me talking because I take my breaths really quick. But actually, did I say the wrong number there, Thomas? So you had to put it up, but it's now published as well. Feel free to call in. So what a crazy day. So who cares about politics? Who cares about who Kamala Harris? Am I even saying her name right? Because I don't want to be like everybody else. Is it Kamala? I just say Kamala. Kamala, whatever. So she picked her VP pick, and it's crazy. But you know what? Who cares? Who cares? We'll get to that here in a few minutes. We're going to talk about 30 minutes about politics and stuff, whatever you guys want to talk about. John's going to come on about 3:30. He's real busy. He's got some court thing going on like he always does. He's in court three times more than I am. I testified last week as an expert. It was an awesome opportunity. So let's go through like the top news of the day. Top news of the day. ISIS is trying to kill Taylor Swift. What? So I'm looking at Fox News. One of the biggest stories that some individual, I'm pretty sure was let in. You know, I don't know. I haven't had time to read the case. I just got here and sat down. I'm kind of reading the headlines here. I'm pretty sure snuck into America. I'm sure through our open freaking borders. And you got Waltz who's saying stuff like, well, if it's a 30-foot, wall, I'll just open a factory with 35-foot ladders. Okay, he's a dumbass from the beginning. I'm sorry. We'll get back to that, but he's a dumbass. So they're going after Taylor Swift. Let's think about this for a second. They arrested someone with a plot, a Taylor Swift concert terror plot foiled by two men. So are they actually trying to kill Taylor Swift or kill a bunch of people at a Taylor Swift concert? What exactly are they trying to do? Who cares? Here's the key point. Our government sucks. And when I say that, this is what I mean by that. They're not protecting us. Look, we pay taxes for infrastructure. I mean, that's the bottom line. We pay all these taxes so we can have good roads, sewer, stuff like that, so we can live like modern day people comfortably. And then that's why we work hard to pay our taxes. And public safety. Public safety is another part of that. They're not protecting crap. All kinds of people are getting attacked walking just like in New York City. Forget that. That's a freaking war zone. But here's the key point. A few weeks ago, 2 weeks or so, someone tried to kill or assassinate Donald Trump. Doesn't matter who. Doesn't matter that it's some 19, 20-year-old dumbass kid who got a rifle from his dad, or if it was someone from ISIS or Iran. It doesn't matter from the standpoint of our government, public safety, is not protecting anybody. So think about it. If you wanted to cause a mass terror event, wouldn't you go after Donald Trump? Yes, check yes to that. What about Taylor Swift? I think I would check yes to that. So, and here's the deal. They're not going to foil every one of these plots. Like they always say, you know, the government has to be right every time, or law enforcement has to be right every time. They only have to be right once. It's going to happen. Just get used to it. They've let in so many bad actors into this country. It is going to happen. It may not happen this week, this month, or even this year, but these people are here and they want to hurt us, period. And so if they can't get to Donald Trump or another high-value target, they're going to go after a different kind of high-value target, which is a Taylor Swift concert. Just like that nut out in Vegas went after concert goers out there. This is going to happen. And because the current administration has let in all these bad actors, unvetted, you know, and let them just sneak in, walls don't work. Yes, walls do work. You just need to put it up all the way. When I know I just have to walk a mile this way to walk around the wall, any jackass can figure that one out. We walk around the wall. Remember when Texas at that one location, I can't remember if it was Eagle or something, the state of Texas put all that barbed wire up. Guess what? They went someplace else. It's kind of like when you get an alarm system for your house. You don't get an alarm system to stop burglars. You get an alarm system so the burglar chooses a different house. So they go to my neighbor who won't get a burglar alarm system or doesn't have a shotgun that they can rack and scare them all away. So that's the whole issue here about the wall, is you got to finish it. You got to put up the wall. So this might actually get something done. If the Swifties get pissed because the Biden administration let all these people in who want to kill Taylor Swift for some reason, something might start to happen because there's a bunch of Swifties. So we're almost at the tail end. I told you last time I guest host that we are in the midst of watching the Biden coup. Well, we're still in the midst of the Biden coup. It's almost over. No blood shed. Kamala Harris. I didn't say that. Not Kamala Harris. She had nothing to do with it. Others in power, the ones on the other side of the string, they, once they decided Biden had to get out, and I blame the Republicans for this, you know, we brought this up, that Biden is like Mr. Robot, you know, can't hardly move or anything, and he's not the one calling the shots. Very true. But I think the Democrats got a clue. We should have just waited and just, you know, for it to get beyond the point of return and then bring up the fact that Biden's a freaking zombie. But so they decided to do this coup. Who decided? Well, I think it's pretty much Obama at this point. I don't know who else, somebody in power. Obviously, Nancy Pelosi was in on it because I guess Biden won't even talk to her now. And she's all concerned saying that we should need to add Biden to Mount Rushmore. What? Maybe in a poster in the bathroom or something, but not up on the hill. I mean, that's crazy talk. But here's the deal. You know, so Kamala Harris is the only one they can go with. They figure out that, look, this coup's not going to work unless we get her. She's all in. She's good. She's going to end up being the president. She's good with the coup. So just like last time when Joe Biden miraculously came out of the South Carolina primary after Claiborne or whatever his name is, you know, got him to win. And, you know, the one thing the Democrats are good at is they can line up. They can, when they're told to get in a line, they get in a line. And remember that last one 4 years ago when they said, get in line, we don't want Bernie Sanders, this is not looking good, we're all on for Joe Biden, he's the only one that, you know, that will work. And everybody got in line with Joe Biden. Do you think Joe Biden picked Kamala Harris? No. Someone did it for him. Someone pulling the strings told Joe Biden who to pick for the VP. She didn't bring anything to the table. I mean, California is going to go blue from now to doomsday. She brings nothing to the table, but yet he picked Kamala Harris. So same thing now. You look at Kamala Harris. Is she calling the shots? No. So the head person of the VP selection team is Eric Holder. What? Why would Eric Holder be the one that's doing all the vetting for the VP process? Eric Holder, buddy of Obama. So who's really calling the shots? Do you think there's any chance that Kamala Harris chose this Waltz guy? He's the closest. He's like Bernie Sanders' little mini-me. I mean, this guy is an absurd selection. But obviously, there's some added value that Eric Holder and Obama think that he is going to, somehow they can control him or whatever. He brings zero to the table. He brings no added value. Shapiro would have gotten in Pennsylvania and kind of put the screws to Trump, because that would have been a state that would have been off the table at that point. It would have been off the table. Pennsylvania out. And then you have to do change all the math to see which states that you have to carry. So why didn't she just pick Shapiro and then take Pennsylvania? I mean, hell, you could have taken Mark, whatever his name is, from Arizona, the senator. He would have at least rolled in Arizona for you. So you would have taken potentially Arizona out of play. So those two brought something to the table. Now, I agree that Beshear from Kentucky really didn't bring much to the table. Kentucky's going Republican. It doesn't matter whether you have Beshear or not, but who knows? But Walz is bringing you, just like with Kamala Harris did 4 years ago, is bringing you a blue state that's already out of play. And you got some nut job who brings all of this baggage. I mean, normally, did they actually do some VP vetting? Because it appears to me he's got baggage dropping everywhere. I mean, all this stuff is coming out, from his DUI to his time in the military. I love this. Soon as he gets activated, he punches out of the military and says, "I'm not going." Then he talks about the fact that people shouldn't be able to own guns, the same type of guns that I carried into war. Hey, again, dumbass, you didn't go to war. You punched out. You're a coward. As soon as the National Guard, that's why people, well, I'm not going to poke fun at the National Guard, but I'm just saying, if you sign up, you take the money, you take the training, you take the GI Bill that paid for your college. If they tell you, okay, now after all these years, you're going to get activated, you know what? You rolled the dice and it's time to pay up for everything that they gave you. And then at that point, he punches out like a coward and doesn't go. He's got so much baggage. It's like from here to Detroit. And we're going to hear about all this baggage. So in this VP vetting that Eric Holder, Obama's buddy, did for Kamala Harris to come up with this perfect selection, you pick the person with the most baggage. Shapiro doesn't have that much baggage. And man, I can't believe I forgot his name, Mark, whatever, from Arizona. That's going to drive me crazy. He doesn't have that much baggage. He has a lot of sympathy for, that's either one of them would have been better selections than him. He was the worst selection she could have made, but she didn't anyway. And all the evidence that I need, or fact, to tell me that it was a terrible selection, AOC loves it. The squad loves the selection, because it's a baby Bernie Sanders, just a little bit. I mean, dude, he looks as old as Biden. Why in the hell would you pick this guy? It makes no sense whatsoever. So the whole VP selection, I find it entertaining. I think it's now kind of made things a little more interesting for November. I love to hear all this stuff. And I have to say, JD Vance, now I'm going to agree that, and let me finish before everyone else, I'll start getting a lot of comments now. I'm not sure that JD Vance was the best selection for Trump. Okay, now let's move forward. He brings Ohio, maybe. You got Ohio. You didn't need Rubio from Florida. He wasn't going to bring anything to the table either. So the question is, Trump picked someone who didn't, he basically picked a mini me of him. Kamala Harris is bringing someone that's probably even more of a mini me, probably way out there on her side. But this is what I have to tell you. I lived many years in Ohio, so I'm a big fan of Ohio. I've been watching JD Vance the last few days, with some of his talks, his answering of questions. Today, him walking over to Air Force Two to ask why you're dodging the media and stuff. I like JD Vance. Now, I just said he may not have been the best selection for Trump for the election, but I like JD Vance. I like what I've seen. I liked his answers to his questions. He's very intelligent. I think he's going to kick the ass of Waltz in a debate. I am very impressed by JD Vance. Waltz, on the other side, it just came out, and so I don't know if this is true or not. He owns no stocks or real estate. So what vested interest does he have? And I'll give you an example. Someone who owns, let's say that you hire someone to be your CEO of AT&T, just picking a company. And, or actually, let me pick a better one, Ford. Ooh, I'm a Chevy guy, but we'll stick with Ford. So you bring somebody in to run Ford, and he doesn't own a Ford. He doesn't own any stock in Ford, doesn't want any stock, employee stock purchase. He just wants a salary. I just want my salary. I don't want to have any vested interest in the success of the company. I just want that big salary and all the benefits that come with it. Would they ever hire that guy to run Ford? Hell no. They would say, you know what, we'll move on to somebody else. I had the opportunity being on a school board to hire three or four superintendents during my 12-year tenure. We always wanted the superintendent to move to the district inside the district boundaries, or at least close, because we want the superintendent to have a vested interest in the district. If somebody lives in Denver and they're driving down to Monument every day to run a district, what vested interest do they really have in the district? They need to live in the community. It's the same kind of commitment. If he doesn't even own real estate, does that mean he doesn't own a house? He's living in the governor's mansion and doesn't own a house? And he has no stocks or anything? So he's, I mean, this guy's a nut, but it'll be entertaining. So that's the important thing. So getting back to some of the current events going on, I'm kind of bouncing around. Love to see the Cori Bush. Bye-bye. You're going toast. Doesn't represent Colorado, so I don't really care, but she's a dumbass, just like some of these other people. So I put her in my whole DA group, and she's going bye-bye. So she can join, what is it, Bowman? What is it, Jamal Bowman from New York? And did you notice that when they realize that they're getting their asses kicked, all of a sudden they get mean? I mean, Bowman, you know, did a little a rally, and started dropping F-bombs and all kinds of stuff, getting mean. You know, like somehow this is racist or something. No, it's not. People don't care about that. All they want to do is get rid of the dumbasses, and you're on that list. So bye-bye, Cori Bush. It's not going to change anything. There's still going to be another liberal Democrat, most likely, in those seats. But my guess is they were probably too vocal, and it's the Democrats that took them out. They didn't like what they were talking about. And for the most part, Cori Bush, she was about to become a huge embarrassment for the Democrat Party. If the Republicans really take control next January, I think Cori Bush would be found that she did a lot of stuff that probably wasn't very legal. And the rest of the squad should be a little concerned that they probably aren't doing things that are legal, and it might start coming out. So that was entertaining. Kind of interested to see how all that plays out during this lame duck period for her and for Jamal Bowman. But I saw something interesting today about Harley Davidson. I thought it was hilarious. Bud Light, I laughed. It was hilarious. So Bud Light does this trans thing, and they are no longer the number one beer maker. It's now Modelo, if I remember right. Modelo. And so you got to understand your clientele. I mean, you just got to understand that, you know, if you're selling certain kinds of stuff, you want to sell to your clientele. Well, I get that. So let's talk about Harley Davidson for a second. I used to ride motorcycles, not anymore, because too many people hit you. If I wanted a motorcycle, I would get a Harley Davidson. Why is that? Are Harley Davidsons the best made motorcycles? Not even close. They're not that well made. They have issues. They're kind of expensive, but they're Harley Davidsons. So when I wanted to go out and get something to drive around in and be cool, I went and bought a Corvette. So why did I buy a Corvette? It's a Corvette. Are Corvettes the best made cars? Not even close. Just like Harley Davidsons. So, but it's that whole thing of saying, you know, do I have a sports car or do I have a Corvette? I have a Corvette. I have a Corvette. So I get to say that. But what if the name recognition didn't mean anything? Well, then people wouldn't buy Corvettes. I mean, they buy Corvettes because they're Corvettes. Same thing with Harley Davidsons. Now they got a nice roar to them. But again, not the best made motorcycles. It's the fact, it's the brand, Harley Davidson. So if Harley Davidson goes out there and starts doing all these woke things and other, and just like Bud Light, all of a sudden Harley Davidson's going to be out of the picture and Indian's going to be the next big, or maybe even Victory. They're going to be the next big motorcycle that's like, hey, do you have an Indian? It's not going to be, oh, I don't buy a Harley Davidson. Why? Because you pissed them off. It doesn't matter right, wrong, indifferent, or whatever. If you're branding something that has a great name brand like Harley Davidson, don't mess with it. Just let it go, you know, because you're selling motorcycles. Don't get in a political game. Don't do the Bud Light mistake, you know, where they've been scrambling to try to catch back up forever. But Harley Davidson can't help themselves. You have these executives that probably don't ride Harley Davidsons, and they're making these decisions and have no vested interest in the company. Well, say goodbye to Harley Davidsons. I think they're going to go the way of everything else. So, but that's interesting. All right. So for the next, John's going to be here in about 10 minutes. So the last thing that I'd like to talk about is immunity. I'm a little disappointed. Maybe I'm talking too fast. Is there anyone who'd like to jump in? I don't see a lot of people. Maybe they just couldn't make it and they're going to watch it later, but whatever. Really wanted to talk about immunity. Presidential immunity. My entire career in law enforcement, I've heard all about the word immunity. My 12 years on a school board, heard all about immunity. One of the first things after I got on a school board is we had a meeting and our attorney explained to us what how immunity worked for elected officials. So basically, you can't sue elected officials on a school board. They have some form of immunity. And every elected official has some form of immunity. Judges and district attorneys in the state of Colorado have absolute immunity, which means they can literally lie and you still can't sue them. Now, the fact that you have absolute immunity, does that mean a judge in Colorado could take a gun, go home and shoot and kill their wife or their spouse or their neighbor or whatever, and nothing would happen because they have absolute immunity? That is not true. It has to be during the performance of their duties. So if the judge is not sitting on the bench, now that doesn't mean a judge is going to pull a gun out in the courtroom and shoot somebody either. So there are limitations to even the term absolute immunity. But during the performance of their duties, a judge makes a decision, they have absolute immunity. If they make a bad decision, you can't sue a judge. When's the last time you heard a judge getting sued? You can't sue a district attorney unless it's just blatant that they committed a criminal act. Cops have what in Colorado, I only know Colorado, have what's called qualified immunity, and that doesn't count for civil rights violations anymore. So if a cop violates somebody's civil rights, they can't claim, oh, I've got qualified immunity. Well, understand that it's qualified immunity, so it's limited. And again, it's in the performance of their duties. If they make a mistake, they're driving down the road, and let's say that they're in a hurry to get to a shooting or something, and it's raining, the vehicle hydroplanes because they went too fast and they wreck and hit two or three other cars and some people get hurt. The cop has qualified immunity. Now, all that is in with cops, all that's in play right now. There's cops that in other states and stuff that are being brought in, you know, for all kinds of stuff. I think right now, if somebody were to shoot the wrong person, Let's say I'm trying to shoot a bad guy and I miss and hit somebody else. That is absolutely covered by qualified immunity. I'm not sure right now. You know, we'd have to see how that would work. But so we've heard Joe Biden say he wants to get rid of this whole, you know, this is a shock. When the Supreme Court came out and said that presidents, they didn't say Donald Trump, they said presidents have absolute immunity. And then they kind of qualified a little bit, you know, during the performance of their duties, blah, 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 blah. So they didn't just say they have absolute immunity. They're a king. They're an emperor or whatever. And see, the Democrats started saying that, oh, I guess now presidents are kings. No, they're not. Again, this is just stupid talk by stupid people. So Biden says he wants to get rid of this. You know, the Supreme Court made a bad ruling. You know, we're going to change this. No, they're not. Someone should just call their bluff and say, okay, let's do it. And all of a sudden, Biden's going to be like, okay, maybe not. And all the elected officials who all have some form of immunity because they're elected officials, no one's going to vote for it. And they're going to all of a sudden come up with these great reasons why it's not going to go on the House floor or the Senate floor. It's not going to come up. Both sides are going to walk away from it. This whole talk about getting rid of presidential immunity because they want to hold Donald Trump, you know, accountable is a bunch of BS, because they knew he had immunity ahead of time. It's just that it's never been ruled on. It's never been brought up to the Supreme Court, just like excessive bail. It's never been brought up to the Supreme Court yet. So they knew it was going to go to the Supreme Court. They knew they were going to lose, but they didn't care. I've stated this before, that they know it usually takes 2 to 3 years to get to the Supreme Court. And by then, all the damage has been done. You know, Donald Trump's already been convicted in New York City, in Manhattan, on that one case. They wanted that there so they can say he's a convicted felon during the election. They know that's going to get overturned. They all know it's going away, but it doesn't matter. They just want to, during the election season, to say that Donald Trump is a convicted felon and sex offender, you know, all this other stuff. They all know it's a bunch of BS. So I'd like to call their bluff and say, do it. Get rid of presidential immunity, because then we're coming for you, Biden, and we're going to come for every president, Obama, all of them, because every president that's ever been in power, someone has died because they were in power. Someone. Biden, we know, killed 13 people because of his actions or his decision in Afghanistan, which was a dumbass, because he's a dumbass. It was a dumbass decision. They all told him, keep the base open. Don't use the airport. Use our airport at our base, very controlled, blah, blah, blah. No. Let's just do that. Whenever you let presidents make military decisions, people are going to die. And that's what happened. You can go back on every presidency all the way back to Washington. So it sounds like we have someone who has something to say. Sherry, you want to talk about something?
I do. I kind of want to go back to your very first thing on Taylor Swift, but I want to substitute Donald Trump, actually.
Either one. Taylor Swift, Donald Trump, they look a lot alike.
There's an article that I ran across, and I haven't seen much on this, but apparently there's a guy called Asif Raza Merchant, something like that. He's a Pakistani national. And he was arrested a month ago, actually the day before the assassination attempt. It was on July 12th. And he's part Iranian. He's got a family in Iran and Pakistan. And they pressed charges on him. They arrested him. He was trying to leave the country. He wanted to get out on the 12th. And they're charging him as he was hiring hitman to plan an execution on American politicians and government officials.
Yep.
And apparently they have been watching him. I hadn't even heard about this, and I just ran across it. They had been watching him for about a month. So they knew that there was a threat. When I say they, the FBI, the government people that are supposed to know, were watching him and knew that. And I just find it interesting when you're talking about Taylor Swift, because to me, that's kind of, it's interesting how they came right out, the news came out and talked about Iran. But I don't remember them ever mentioning they had arrested a man hiring hit people to execute politicians.
And that would be what we refer to as a lack of transparency. I think the government right now, you tell me what you think. I think the government knows there are numerous people in this country that would love to kill somebody famous in our country. Do you agree?
Yes.
I mean,
for
like
many reasons.
Yeah, we got Taylor Swift. What an excellent person. Now, this is going to sound bad, so don't take me out of context here. What an excellent person to assassinate, Taylor Swift. I mean, there's more Swifties in this country, both Democrat, Republican, Independents. Do we have any idea the chaos if at one of her concerts something went bad? Now, I don't think she's doing any concerts in the United States in the near future, but I hope they'd seriously protect her. But just think about all, if you could come up with a list of the top 100 people, you can't protect them all. And so,
No, and it's exactly what you say. You also don't know who's coming in. It's not like, how can I say this? It's not like a cohesive tribe is coming into the country. It's like 100 different tribes of people
it's more than a
coming
hundred.
in. Yeah, you're
It's
right.
literally every country. So every bad person you could think of, and here's how I used to always think of this. If they say 99% of the people that are coming in are good people, there's still boatloads of bad people coming in.
And especially if they're coming from mental hospitals and
Right.
prisons.
From Venezuela.
So.
Absolutely. And do we not think that someone from Venezuela that's in a prison in Venezuela, most likely, if they're a rapist, are they going to rape again? Yes. If they're
Yep.
murderers, are they going to murder again? Yes.
Well, and then you also have, which you also are not seeing any press on. But the satanic part, which it wasn't, I maybe a month or two ago, they got some of the El Salvador guys for killing a young girl, not a ritual killing because the beast told them to. I mean, you have a lot of different things in people's mind that are here in this country that you wouldn't expect.
Correct.
I mean, it's pretty crazy. And then I just heard this term today. This is a new term to me, but it's so fitting. It's called the Dog King. And apparently, in some countries, a long time ago, they would put a dog, the king would just walk away for a while, and they would put a dog as the king to kind of basically be very dejecting of the people. In other words, even a king can rule you peasants, basically, is the idea. And I'm thinking that's really kind of what they did to us.
With Biden,
Because
absolutely.
you can't tell me that this is ridiculous, because I remember before he ran, he had dementia. He didn't know his wife from his sister. I mean, it was obvious before, and now all of a sudden, oh wow, look at the debate. He's got dementia. I mean, if it is even him, if he's, once again, if it is even him. So we're lied to so much, not told stuff so much that it's so very, very hard to know what is going on.
And that's why a lot of people right now want to see Biden. I mean, because really, are we really interested in Biden? No, we're not interested in Biden at all. But most people are like, I want to know what his state is. Because I mean, Biden's not, ever since the coup took place, and we really, I don't think we'll ever know what happened in his beach house, when he very quickly on that Saturday going into Sunday when he punched out. Was he threatened? What was the deal? I mean, to get him to get out.
True, but did you see the guy in Las Vegas that swears he was dead? He was dead, and they flew him out of there. He was in Las Vegas, I don't know, for some reason,
And he
and they
was
flew
sick.
him
He was
out
there
right
for a
away.
rally.
Yeah, and the guy
What happened?
swears that he was dead.
Well, I would swear that it's like Weekend at Bernie's at this point, but I mean, at
Yeah.
some point, we got to see Biden to make sure without sunglasses on. Now, I've seen that little stiff. Hey, but we've seen robots. Maybe they put a Biden head on a robot and it's just going from the helicopter to whatever. But essentially, Biden is dead at this point. I mean, I hate to say that, but whether he is or isn't, he's not making any decisions. I don't think Kamala Harris is making any decisions either. I'm just one of those people. I want to know who's calling the shots. Who is making the decision? Is it still Obama? I mean, who's running the show?
Obama's just a puppet. There's
So
pictures
who
of
is
him
it
as a
then?
kid with Bush's arms behind him. I think it goes back to like when you're talking about the globalists and the
Right.
World Economic Forum, the people behind them. I think it is like, as you start looking further back, it's like this kind of bloodline group of people.
So it's not one person. It's kind of this loose.
Rockefellers, Rothschilds,
Yeah, it's kind of
Warburg.
a collaboration of some people of high rich or richy donors and stuff. I mean, I will tell you this. I live down in El Paso County. And I will tell you, the El Paso County Republican Party is run by this, or they're trying to. They're getting a things are crazy down here because of the grassroots and everything. But they're trying to run, and they used to effectively, like 10, 15 years ago, they ran El Paso County, this group. And I don't know, this group of legacy Republicans that would decide who's going to run, who's not going to run, you know, things like that. But somebody, this was a coup, we're right at the tail end of the coup. The coup will be over after the DNC. But you saw Kamala and she had that big thing. Hey, I'm the nominee as of last night. Well, what the hell happened last night? Nobody got out in public and voted. She hasn't gotten one vote for the nominee for president, but they had this virtual whatever thing, and Kamala came out on top. No one else qualified. So then they'll cinch the deal next week in the DNC or the week after. But we just saw a coup. This is not how our democracy is supposed to work. You don't have
But
one
the
party.
people contributing to the coup, because okay, all
Oh,
you
yeah.
heard is nobody likes her. 2% of she couldn't even get into the to run the first time. She couldn't get any votes. She's awful. She's horrible. Wow, she's 50-50 with Trump. It's like, give me a break.
She's the savior now. She is the savior of the Democrat Party. They've been waiting for years for the Messiah, and Kamala Harris is that person all of a sudden who couldn't win one state in a primary 4 years ago.
And she's
Yeah, this.
done so much to hurt black
Oh.
people, and so much. It's unbelievable. And it's almost like brainwashing. It's like,
Oh,
okay,
absolutely.
she's horrible, but here you go. Now you're gonna love her.
If you say it enough times and you got the media on your side, if you say it enough times, it's true. She was not the border czar. She was not the border czar. She was not the border czar. You just say it enough times and everyone's just like, oh yeah, she had nothing to do with the border. Nothing to do with it. So, hey, we need to move on to the next subject.
Thank you
John
for
St.
talking to me.
Oh, you, hey, thanks for talking to me. I appreciate you and your time. So, we're going to move on to law enforcement stuff. One of the requirements for John St. Augustine to come on here and talk is we don't talk politics. So, let me say one last thing before I bring John on because I got to get some politics. I live down in El Paso County. If you live up in Larimer County, please vote for Dawn Downs for DA. She's running as an independent up in Larimer County. I know her, I've met her, I've talked to her. She's an incredible person. She's running for DA to get the liberal Democrat DA out of office up in Larimer County. That's Fort Collins. And the current DA up there is a joke. He is just like the rest of a lot of these liberal DAs. So you need to help because she's running as an independent. Dawn Downs, great DA, great person. So if you're up in Larimer County, vote for Dawn. All right. So we're going to switch this up completely. If you can bring John St. Augustine on about the last 20 minutes here that we have. And again, John's been really busy. I've been really busy. So we literally came up with this as I was driving back from Denver from my lunch meeting today, slightly exceeding the posted speed limit on the interstate. We decided to talk about something that's been frustrating us. So law enforcement, if you want to call it that, the judicial system has to move with technology. So when they started realizing that fingerprints were unique, they started, you know, doing fingerprints. The FBI kind of led that effort. And then at crime scenes, they started trying to lift prints to see if they could match them and then create this huge database. Relatively successful. I will tell you, being a detective, getting fingerprints is a lot tougher than it is on TV, but it's still. So you got to move up with technology. DNA comes about, and there's all kinds of these new technologies. So John and I would say we're kind of out in front of the whole digital forensics stuff, data, whatever you want to call it. And there's other stuff that are related to that. And so the problem is that we predominantly work for defense now because we're both retired from law enforcement. And what happens is, and what I wanted to kind of talk about is the ability of law enforcement to not keep up with some of this stuff. So I'm trying to think of a lead-on question, John, so I can get you in the game here. But are there any cases or anything that you can think of? And the last, we've been doing this for almost 10 years now as consultants, of the government's lack of doing a good digital investigation that can actually cause problems in the judicial system.
Well, first, thanks, Mark, for having me. And I'm glad we're not talking about politics. So thank you for that. What I've been seeing a lot of lately, are in particular are like sex assault allegations. A lot of it happens, with your younger crowd, right? Where, as we saw in our careers, that sweet spot's not the right word. That's a horrible word. But that age that you typically see with sex assaults is in that 15 to 30-year-old, male or female that's involved in, an allegation of sex assault. Well, what are the demographics of a 15 to 30-year-old in today's world? They grew up, they didn't grow up with VHS and VCR, right? They didn't grow up with, a Rolo, what do you call those old phones that you used to have to
Rotary.
rotary phones, right? Even a push dial to home phone. I mean, lots of people now don't even have home phones, right? Everything is done through technology, whether it's a cell phone that mom or dad got for them, or as a young adult they bought for themselves. We've become so dependent on technology, primarily, cell phones. And so, when we, some of the more recent things I've seen, Mark, in regards to sex assaults, is that, some of these allegations are what we would call a cold report, where, right, that the alleged sex assault didn't happen the day before or the week before, but that it happened months, even years later. And, as we know, right, kids, young adults communicate via social media, or they use, a texting application or a free texting application like TextNow or TextFree. And what's happening is that, when law enforcement's called to these allegations, they're literally, and I'm seeing more and more of this, which I'm kind of confused and stumped by this approach. But you have, an alleged victim, and I'm not saying that, all of these every case is the same way. But all it takes is one case where an innocent person goes to prison, and it's obviously it's not a good thing. Those that are guilty, there's typically some evidence to support that. But what I'm starting to see is that, law enforcement just takes the word of somebody who makes an allegation. And what's troubling, and for me, what's really, really dangerous, is that anybody can make an allegation. I mean, Mark, somebody from, your time in growing up in Ohio, or working in Florida, or wherever you've been in your lifetime, some 20, 30, 40 years later, them making an allegation that you touched them, and law enforcement going out and making an arrest based simply and solely on that statement. That
Right.
is dangerous. That is
And
extremely dangerous.
to understand, in the state of Colorado, sex assault on a child, which means the victim is under the age of 15, there is no statute of limitations.
That's right. That's right. So, what I'm seeing a lot more of more recently are people who, come up, and I say come up because I'm saying there's no evidence to support these allegations. But some 10, 15, I have a case right now that's 25 years later, somebody's alleging to have been sexually assaulted by a particular person. Now, here's the problem, right? In law enforcement, we focus on those things like forensic evidence, right?
Right.
We rely upon witnesses. We rely upon people who are involved in illegal activity potentially confessing to us or confessing to somebody else that they did something wrong. Well, what happens when 25 years later, right? Let's just say your daughter's friend, Jen's friend says something like, "Hey, Remember that gal that used to stay at our house or came and visited us that one time? She's now alleging that you touched her, Dad. And law enforcement investigates it and says, oh, yeah, we have sufficient evidence, right? We have probable cause to believe that this crime has occurred. And so they go to a judge, right? They tell one side of the story about how Mr. Poff was had access to this gal, and this gal remembered that there was a room filled with these figurines from Disneyland. And I know the reason why I say Disneyland is I know that your daughter is a big Disney
Star
fan.
Wars,
Yeah,
Star Wars
Star
stuff.
Wars. Star Wars stuff, right? And so lo and behold, they find out that somebody who remembers Mark from 25, 30 years ago had Star Wars stuff. And that is the basis for the arrest of Mark Poff. And again, right, if you committed the crime, then you need to pay the price. I don't think there's anybody here between you and me disputing that those who are that where there's evidence to support these allegations, that if you did it, you deserve every ounce of
Be
restitution,
it.
right? Where it becomes a major problem, and we're seeing it in multiple jurisdictions. It's not just confined to El Paso County or a certain jurisdiction. It's happening everywhere. People are making these allegations, and as a result of that, right, law enforcement is, they're making arrests, and after the arrest, the problem doesn't go away for the person who's arrested. What happens is now they've got to put in the resources to hire a good
Money.
attorney, right? They got to hire experts like you or me or some other expert who's going to say, procedurally, from a police standpoint, what should we be seeing in these types of investigations? Right. And the argument's going to be, well, John, Mark, are you saying that there's nobody who's sexually assaulted 25 years ago? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that if you're going to go out and make an arrest of somebody for some criminal allegation, please, 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 please make sure that you have some evidence to support.
Something.
Right, something, right, and I
And
know you're not going to get
Star
friendly.
Wars, Star Wars characters or whatever figurines
Right,
is not
going to cut it.
evidence.
That's right.
But the cops, and you're absolutely right. Especially those longevity cases. I mean, and understand this, the allegation alone is dooming. I mean, just the allegation. And then, they have to spend all this money, time, and effort and everything. And then here's the thing that I've definitely learned. When you go to trial and it's something like sex assault on a child or, whatever, the jury wants to convict as a default. I mean, they are ready to convict. Show me who the guilty guy is. I'm going to send them to prison.
That's right.
So I would definitely encourage people that if you're called to jury duty, and it's something heinous, if that's the right word, understand that people, and I've seen this, I was a detective for many years. People have made false allegations. I just worked on a case down in Canyon City where most likely, it was a false allegation. And then I always refer to it as handing the government evidence on a silver platter. And I've seen this. Where they said, here, here's this evidence that proves this case. And it's like, well, where did this come from? We didn't collect it during a crime scene investigation. And understand on these longevity cases, sorry, I'm taking so much time here. There's still a thing where you can call them. We've had this in cases, for some reason, the word eludes me, just
X.
pretext phone call. So let's say that they're making this allegation that 20, 30 years ago, so and so touched me. Well, let's put you on the phone. We'll record the phone call. You call that person and confront them, and say, look, I am so pissed off. You raped me or whatever 20 years ago, and you didn't even as much as apologize to me. And I let you get away with it. I didn't tell anybody that it happened. I let you get away with it at least. For God's sakes, could you apologize to me for what you did? And an innocent person is going to say, dude, what planet are you coming from? I'm not apologizing. Nothing happened. But you might get someone to say, okay, you know what? Maybe I did go too far or whatever, And boom, now you got some evidence. of something that maybe something did take place. Because innocent people tend not to apologize, especially for something that huge of an allegation. But when the cops do nothing, make an arrest, those cards have been played. And there's no way this person could now, prove that it didn't happen. Because they have as much of a burden, even though we say that you got to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, they're innocent until proven guilty. I got news for you. Most juries that go in there, when they hear sex assault on a child, they're ready to convict the judge.
Right. I mean, I don't know if you remember, Mark, there was a case years ago, and I may have told you about this. I was involved in it. It was a school teacher who was also a basketball coach. And what happened was a young lady had a crush on this coach. And so, during lunch breaks and after school, she would come in and talk to him. And where the teacher made the mistake was that there were not other students or other
Never
adults
be
present.
alone.
Right, they weren't present during these interactions with this student. Well, she ends up sending some nude images to the teacher, right? So teacher unsolicited, right, sees these images and deletes them. Well, you know what that means in our line of work when we were in law enforcement. Why do people delete images
Covering up.
right? It's because, right, oh my gosh, he must be hiding something. He must be involved in asking her for nudes. Otherwise, why were they deleted? Well, long story short, what happens is this guy is coaching a basketball game, and in the middle of the basketball game, they come and arrest him. Five police officers come to the basketball game, arrest him. They interrogate him for almost 7 hours. And, come to find out, she made these allegations. Well, as you said, the allegation itself is so dangerous that it doesn't really matter what the outcome of the trial
Right.
is. He's never going to work again as a teacher because, somebody could easily just Google his name and find out that he was arrested for allegations of sex assault on a child by one in the position of trust. And so, we've got to do a better job. And what I mean by we is that law enforcement has to do a better job of thoroughly investigating these cases because, merely just going on the standard of probable cause and not looking at all the angles, what ends up happening is that these people get arrested and they're doing everything they can to prove their innocence. But even after the innocence has been proven, they're financially drained and they're not able to work in any capacity that they were in before because now they have this stigma that they are, a sex offender on children. And as you said, right? I mean, look, I have children, you have children. When they were little, even to this day, you don't want anything to happen to your kids. Anybody who does anything to kids is,
The worst.
it's the worst, right? That's why in prisons, they have a term called
Segment them.
chomos, right? Chomos. They have chomos that they separate, which is child molesters, that they put in different areas to protect them from everybody else, general population and other people that have been charged with other crimes because there is a high level of violence that is directed towards people that are sex offenders, especially
Right.
sex offenders on
So
children.
we just got a couple more minutes.
Sure,
But
sure.
sorry, I kind of cut you short and stuff.
No, no, it's
But
okay.
when we also talk about all this digital evidence, obviously, we get these cases constantly, and one of the problems is we're not free, typically.
Right.
So there's a cost involved, and I would tell everybody who's listening, you need to have at least $50,000 to $100,000 set aside. Now, everyone's gonna be like, "Well, dude, I'll never get charged with anything criminal." This is what I would tell you. If you ever catch yourself alone with a child in a room, don't, I mean, it can happen.
Right.
Especially,
Even
and I
if they're
hate to
not
say
alone,
this,
Mark. Even if they're
what?
not alone. Even if they're not alone. Just the
But, right.
allegation, right? Just the mere allegation, but
Right.
being alone creates even more problems.
Right. And so this stuff comes up. Cops, I will tell you right now, do not have a clue how to do a digital investigation. They get cell phones. Sometimes they don't even take the cell phone. There's just they're not thinking, what is the digital stuff that I need to collect? Cops are good at, I got blood. We're going to collect the blood. I've got this and that. They've been well trained, on doing that, but they don't understand the digital crime scene and how to collect the stuff that potentially could be inculpatory or exculpatory for whomever. And again, as law enforcement, it's not your job to prove someone guilty. It's your job to get to the truth. And so you got to collect all the evidence that might actually show that this person didn't do it. And we definitely are challenged by bad investigations or weak investigations,
right,
that end up that we're like, well, that evidence could have been exculpatory, but law enforcement didn't collect it, and now it's been lost.
Right.
And we go through that every day.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you only got a couple of minutes, but what ends up happening, Mark, is that we end up appearing as if, you know, we're working for the devil, because these are allegations that tug at our heartstring. Whenever anybody has an allegation that they've hurt a child, you know, our immediate response is hang them at the stakes, you know, and, you know, burn them at the stakes. But, you know, what ends up happening is that we end up finding out that, you know, there's always another side to the story. And part of that is through the digital investigation that you find out, wait a second, this, you know, this little girl or this young teenager had a crush, or, you know, wanted to set him up because, you know, she was mad or whatever, or he was mad or whatever. And, you know, they never really took the time to gather that evidence that might have proved either one's innocence or potentially their guilt.
Right. You've got to collect all the evidence you can. And
yeah.
And I always talk about best evidence. And when it comes to digital evidence, law enforcement doesn't know the best evidence to collect and how to preserve it. You know, they have all these policies. I had a case in Southern Colorado where their own procedures said that you needed to secure this digital evidence, and they didn't. They altered the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way we can fix that with digital. I mean, once you destroy it, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to, in the future, you and I need to have, a time that we can sit down and just talk about some of these very specific cases that we go through. There's some great ones. I just had two that were adjudicated. You got some that are coming up. And it just, you know, John has done amazing work to keep, I would say, the prosecution or the judicial system in check, because they try to take the path of least resistance. And it ends up that they don't do a good digital investigation, and people are getting themselves jammed up, and they're like, I didn't do anything wrong. And we're showing to the prosecution how that's true. And a lot of these cases are getting dropped and things like that. But John, it's always good to talk to you, buddy. I mean, I just talked to you, you know, a few minutes ago before to come up with this. And thanks for doing this at the last minute.
No,
I know you've got, you know, court stuff coming up and you're busy and everything. And I'm not. I'm just taking naps all day.
Yeah, right.
So
you're just,
but it's always a good time. I really want to thank Chuck and Julie. I love guest hosting. It gives them an opportunity that they don't feel pressured, that they can take some time off and stuff. I hope everybody likes these kind of talks. One of these days, we got to tell you who killed JonBenet in one of these, you know, podcasts, if that ever gets figured out. But so everybody have a great Wednesday. Hopefully Chuck and Julie, well, they'll be back on Friday. You can find out what their kid's score was. I know I'll find out. And again, thanks, John, for coming and doing the show. And we'll talk soon in the next time we guest host.
Sounds good. See you, Chuck and Julie.
All right. Everybody have a great night.
You too.